Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, and we are here to chat about night one of Spring Breaking 2024. Guys, it is, you know, I'm so excited to talk about today's show because I am legitimately so happy with the outcome. And obviously, I think a lot of people were expecting to see Trick Williams become NXT champion, but the moment that it actually happens, especially following a phenomenal match, is definitely something to talk about, and it's a moment, and I cannot wait to dive into that. Before we do, though, we got quite a bit to get into for today's show. We will kick things off with Trick Williams and Ilya Dragunov, but let me just say that overall, tonight, Spring Breakin' was really freaking good. They delivered top to bottom. One of my favorite women's matches on NXT in a hot minute occurred here today. Can't wait to talk about that. And there's quite a bit more. Like, this was honestly a good freaking show. And so next week will be the second week of Spring Breakin', and they got some big matches announced for that too. But I feel like this week was definitely the strong one because we were all anticipating getting to see Trick Williams' victory. And so I think that this week was probably the stronger week, or it's looking like it's going to be the stronger week. It's going to be tough to beat next week. However, they do got some good stuff lined up, but we will get to that. I want to kick things off with some super chats here today. And I want to thank everybody who's coming into the stream. Appreciate you guys all so freaking much. All right, so let's freaking go. First and foremost, shout out to Sheldon Jackson for gifting 5 DWO memberships. We got a super chat here from Van Housen. Van Life, what's up, Van Housen? Says, I read the FTC has banned non-compete agreements. I'm stoked. I think this means we could see wrestlers jump between companies faster. So I haven't seen that. So I don't want to speak on that until I see that and kind of analyze that and figure out what the situation is and all of that and educate myself a little bit on that. So I won't comment on that just yet, but thank you so much for the super chat. We got Christopher Zanto, who's a brand new DWO member. Welcome to the channel. We got Ebony Prince here, a DWO member for 6 months. Says, great show. Congratulations, Trick Williams. We got Sam Pie Boone, who says, will you do a live reaction stream for the WWE draft both night, SmackDown and Raw? I still haven't decided. I think I'm probably definitely doing one for Monday Night Raw. I will keep you posted on that. For SmackDown, I might not because I have a show immediately right after here on the actual channel. So I'm going to be doing the post show here. But because I do the Raw post show on Fightful, I may do a Raw live stream here on the channel. Thank you so much for asking, Sam. I appreciate that. We got Jay Stone here who says, I just hope they don't butcher Ilya when he gets on the main roster. My friend, you and me both, they best not butcher this man. We got a very generous super chat here from Hunter Tillman who says, hey, Denise, I'm sorry if it feels like I don't send in a lot of super chats, but I'm always watching your content and showing all the support I can give in. Other words, whoop that Trick. Also, keeping Trick's mom in my prayers. First of all, thank you so much. Your generosity has already gone far and above. I'm just happy that people tune into the show, period. And on top of that, yes, also keeping Trick Williams's mom, everybody's mentioning that. And we got a very sweet moment with Trick Williams right before his match where he was on the phone with his mother. And it's sort of this bittersweet thing, like try to put yourself in Trick Williams's shoes where it's like you just had this great moment in your career, but at the same time, you know, things are going on personally. And that can be, you know, that can be hard, right? It's a bittersweet moment. Like you're happy for one thing, but then the other thing you're just like, it's hard. But congratulations to Trick Williams. And we will talk more about that in a second. Thank you so much to Hunter. We also have TJ Smooth Zero, who also became a brand new DWO member. We have Richard Martinez, who says, from sidekick to champion, happy for Trick. Ilya giving the belt personally felt earned. Excited to see Dragunov cook on the main roster. Question mark. Oh, wait. Question. First opponent. So I don't know who Ilya Dragunov's first opponent will be, but I want to see him like go in there with people like Chad Gable, Otis, Bronson Reed, Ricochet. I mean, literally everybody. I don't know why I just named a bunch of Raw people, but no matter what brand he gets drafted to, we know we're going to get some really good matches. Oh my God, him and Sheamus. Like, literally, that just popped into my head. Ilya Dragunov and Sheamus. And I don't know if they're ever going to run back Gunther and Ilya. But my God, if they ran back Gunther and Ilya and they did it on a WrestleMania, oh, stop it, my heart. We got Crew Kid 52 who says, so hyped to see Trick as champion. He's more than earned it from the beginning of TMG to No Mercy to Deadline to Stand and Deliver and now to Spring Break. And we have seen the rise of an absolute star. It is definitely true. And I remember when we first started, you know, talking about NXT 2.0 and seeing all these people sort of develop, it was this thing of like kind of, for everybody, I'm talking about the whole roster as a whole. As a whole, the entire roster, getting to see where everybody is at and what they've been able to accomplish, like everybody from Tiffany Stratton, Roxanne Perez, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams. It's been kind of cool to see how they started and where they're at and just everything that happened in between. So I'm very happy that we stuck with it and followed the entire journey. Thank you so much for the generous super chat. We got Dream Ninja 77 who says, don't remember the last time the NXT crowd got that loud. That was the magic. That women's match was super fun. And the Natty Lola Vice segment was great. I was almost thinking for a second because for some reason I didn't look to see which matches were taking place week one and week two, only except for Trick and Ilya. I knew it was happening week one and it made sense because of the timing of the draft. But I actually thought that Lola and Natty was going to happen today for some reason. And so I was really excited. And then it ended up just being the contract signing, which was great. But I actually thought the match was happening today. But we'll be seeing that next week. Thank you so much to Dream Ninja 77. All right. So let's get right into it, guys. One more, actually. This is from Christopher Marino who says, okay, now I want to see Gunther versus Ilya at Bash in Berlin. Bro. Why you gotta do me like that? Now my hopes are like skyrocketed high for that. That would be the place to do that. Most surely would be. All right, so let's get into it. I'm gonna kick things off with Trick Williams and Ilya Dragunov because that's the big hot topic. So where do I begin? So thoughts first and foremost. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. I want to give flowers to Ilya Dragunov first and foremost because he gave multiple great matches with Carmelo Hayes. And he also gave Trick William the best match that I've ever seen him have here tonight. And it's crazy because I remember not being so hot about the matches that we saw between Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. But my God, those two guys with Ilya Dragunov, literally the best matches of their careers. This was, in my opinion, Trick Williams' best match that I've ever seen of his. And going in there with Ilya, having this matchup, it was just phenomenal. In terms of the body of the match, the things that really kind of just worked here was that, one, they started this match off hot. Like, they were not starting at a zero. It was not zero to 100. It was literally like, we're starting at 90 and working our way up past 100. They started this match off hot. And that is what I primarily started like going, okay, like this is a good energy that I'm feeling because you're starting to see both of these guys, right? And the first portion that we see in this match is there's a moment where Ilya flat out just slaps Trick Williams across the face. And it sort of wakes this thing up in both of them where Ilya's feeling the fire of defending his championship and Trick is feeling the fire of winning the championship. And you end up seeing both of these guys have this moment where they just start chopping and slapping each other. And then they do the bit where they like hug, separate because they know exactly what's coming next. And both of them just start punching the living life out of each other. And I'm talking like speed punches, man. And it was great. So a phenomenal start there. In the middle, you see some great moments like a knee from Ilya, coast to coast from Ilya. You see Trick Williams utilizing a lot of the same moves that Ilya Dragunov has known. He was taken from his book. He did the H-bomb and the Torpedo Moscow. And I love that he did that because we know that Ilya Dragunov is not an opponent is not an easy opponent to beat. They call him the Mad Dragon for a reason. It's hard to slay him. That's the whole thing, right? And so Trick, knowing and understanding this and utilizing everything that he has in his arsenal, but also bringing out what he has seen this guy do, it was like he beat him with his own moves. And so seeing him take a page out of Ilya's book was something that I wasn't expecting him to do in this match, but I really like the significance of it all, because when you are fighting someone, you got to bring out everything you can. And if you know, hey man, this guy has put people away with those moves, shit, I'm going to try them and I'm going to do them too. And we see a moment where Trick puts Ilya through the commentary table, and Trick eventually ends up kicking out of the H-bomb. I mean, the crowd is really into this match, really high intensity, high energy. And then finally, Trick gets Ilya with a knee to the back. It's a near fall. Doesn't get the three count, but then finally gets him with that knee again, and bam, Trick Williams wins this match. This was a phenomenal matchup. If you missed it, please go out of your way to watch it. I know you just heard me recap it, but trust me, it's so much better when you actually watch it. This was so good. So with that being said, after this matchup, they had Ilya Dragunov. The referee was about to give the belt to Trick, and Ilya snatched away the belt. And I'm thinking, Ilya, what are you doing here? Like, what's happening? Why are you doing this? This is so disrespectful, right? And he looks at the championship, and it's like really hard for him to break away from that championship. And eventually he stands up and he hands it to Trick Williams. And I thought, hell yeah, man, that's freaking awesome. So it ended up being this moment of like, yes, this is really hard to part from, but you beat me fair and square. And like a man, I'm going to give you the championship, shake your hand, give you a hug, and get out of the way so that you can enjoy your moment. And that is exactly what we saw there. And so I was just a big fan of everything top to bottom that they did here, the way they hyped up this match, the way that we knew this was actually happening, because pretty much they sort of gave the ending away a little bit when they said, well, multiple reasons. One, when Ilya Dragunov declared himself for the draft, I really wish they wouldn't have done that, because I think it wouldn't have felt so much like the ending was given away. And then when they said, oh, if Trick Williams loses this match at NXT, then, you know, he's out of NXT. He's done. He's no longer going to be part of the brand. So I think just kind of saying in advance that Ilya was going to be part of the draft kind of gave away this ending. But regardless, it looks like what we thought was going to happen ended up happening. So Ilya, of course, is going to be drafted. He already said it. He's moving on to either Raw or SmackDown. Hopefully they do not fumble him. Ilya Dragunov is small in size. We know this. And unfortunately, guys that are small in size tend to not get pushed on the main roster the same way. And that's just the way that things are. As there have been some exceptions to that rule, but for the most part, that does happen. And I hope that does not happen to Ilya, because Ilya is a tremendous freaking wrestler. And of course, we are in this new era of WWE. We've been talking about it, the Triple H era. And he obviously did so much with freaking NXT, the black and gold version, that I would hope that Ilya is utilized properly. And here's the thing, given what we saw at Raw after Mania and getting to see Ilya get this win over Shinsuke Nakamura, that kind of gave me some hope. It gave me some hope that they recognize what Ilya is, what kind of competitor Ilya is, and like he can be this guy to have these phenomenal matches. Like he can be like Sheamus, he can be like Chad Gable, he can be like all of these guys that you count on to deliver great matches. I think that is what Ilya Dragunov can be on the main roster. So I'm excited to see what brand he gets drafted at, what feud we're going to see come about. Of course, fingers crossed to see him and Gunther again. Fingers crossed to see him and Sheamus. God, there's so many different opponents we would love to get out of that. But Trick Williams is now the champ. So I want to spend some time talking about Trick Williams, because someone earlier mentioned that You know, we talked about how we saw his rise in NXT. He went from sidekick to champion. That is a huge freaking leap, guys. A huge freaking leap. Now, I recently, like what, 2-3 months ago or so, got a chance to interview Trick Williams here on the channel. You guys can watch that interview. It's up here on the channel. And Trick Williams basically told his story about how he was pursuing football. He was pursuing the NFL. Unfortunately, things did not work out the way that he had hoped that it would work out over in football. And it's so crazy because I truly believe in destiny. And I know sometimes people don't like to believe in destiny because then it almost feels like our decisions don't matter because it's sort of predetermined. But I think it's a little bit of both, right? Like, of course, your decisions matter because that's going to lead you to what you're destined for. And I believe in destiny. I truly believe that everybody's meant for something and everybody has something that's sort of like, I guess, waiting for them, right? And so I believe in destiny, all right? And when Trick Williams told me the story of how he got basically X'd out, like done, unfortunately didn't work out with him in the NFL, the backup plan was for him to go to the XFL. And this was when Vince was still, you know, running the XFL. This was pre The Rock's XFL. This was Vince's XFL. And he had said that he's not even really sure what happened, but there was some mix up in the paperwork. I don't know. But point being that he ended up being invited to go and try out for WWE. And he decided, like, all right, I'm going to go give it a try. He does the tryout and they basically told him that he wasn't ready just yet. So I think he left. He then wrestled on the independent scene and then I guess had another tryout, if I remember correctly. And then that's when he officially got hired. So it's just this thing of like, to me, like hearing this journey, it really feels like it was meant to be because I also think like after the first time that they didn't hire him with WWE and that could have been it, right? He could have been like, okay, trying to move on, trying to find something else. But the fact that he went to the Indies, got better, and then went back and tried again, I feel like that says a lot. But on top of that, I think the thing that has really worked for Trick Williams and is the thing that has more so gotten him forward is the personality aspect of it all. The people have really gotten into the whoop that Trick. He comes across as very freaking cool, and that works for the people. The people have gotten behind him. So now we are going into this new era of NXT, which, by the way, at the top of the show, and I don't know what this means, but at the top of the show, we had Ava Raine basically say that NXT will never be the same after the draft. And now I'm wondering, what does she mean? I'm starting to wonder, because of course NXT is part of this draft, okay? So I'm starting to wonder if they're going to get bigger names than we might have anticipated. I'm still thinking we're going to get like medium-ish names, you know, guys that, again, aren't doing much on the main roster, could go over to NXT, sort of like your Karrion Crosses of the world. I still think that's the level of guys that we're going to be getting, guys or gals drafted over to NXT. But I don't know. Maybe they were just hyping it up. Maybe I read into too much about this, but the fact that Ava Raine said that NXT would never be the same after the draft was very interesting. So, and it kicked off the show. Like, that was the first message that they wanted to give to the viewers, that it's not going to be the same after the draft. And then there was another thing that, by the way, speaking of your Karrion Crosses of the world, again, I don't know if I read too much into this, but hear me out. So there was a vignette that was played for the Final Testament. And the Final Testament, so they're out doing their dark stuff, and they're talking about how, you know, they're going to take us back to the good old days. And I'm like, okay, so they're going to be the old version of what we've seen, hopefully times 10. Now, fine, cool. That's pretty much what we expected. That's part of the reason why we wanted the Final Testament over on NXT, so they could sort of reignite that flame, right? So then in this vignette, they flash some like words on the screen, and it said black and gold never dies. And then there was like a little tiny timer. And I don't know if that means the black and gold era is coming back. I feel like this just means that Karrion Kross and the Final Testament are going to be bringing back the black and gold era, but like just within their group. I don't really know, but sometimes you read too much into things and it might actually pan out to be something. And then sometimes you disregard something and then it turns out to be something. So I truly don't know what's going to happen. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But anyways, Trick Williams is the new NXT champion. Could not be more stoked for him. So congratulations to Trick Williams. Big week, man. Big freaking week. All right, so let's go ahead and get into some of these super chats here and see what people are saying. This is from Corey MacArthur, who's been a DWO member for 10 months, says, "What's good, Denise and DWO crew? Whoop that Trick." I love the energy in here, guys. Sheldon Jackson says, "Oh, here we go. Fun fact. Fun fact for the night. By Saturday, Trick's NXT title reign will be longer than his NXT North American title reign, which was all of 3 days." Yes, I remember that. God, I still remember thinking like, what the hell are we doing when that happened, by the way? But you know what? I'm almost, part of me, even though I did not like the way that he just lost the NXT North American championship like that, part of me is kind of happy that we haven't had a championship reign for Trick Williams, because it almost makes this extra special. Of course, it's already special because it's the NXT World Champ. Like, actually, there's no world in it, but you know, it's the NXT Championship. It's already a big deal. But the fact that he's never been a champion besides those 3 days as NXT North American champion, it's almost like a, I don't know, it just feels better. It feels more important, you know? Michael, thank you so much for becoming a member here on the DWO, actually now for a month. Welcome. Paul Morales, who's been a member for 15 months, says, "I feel more women will move than the men in the draft." I think so too. And we've talked about this. It's because we need dudes here on this show. And we got plenty of the gals. Plenty of the gals. With that being said, we need to get into... Oh, this is interesting. Here we go. Tony here says, "In just 48 hours, we have three African-Americans winning world championships. Willow, the TBS title, Swerve, the AEW championship, and now Trick with the NXT championship." Hell yeah, man. Steven Martulli says, "Trick equals Diesel. Carmelo equals HBK. Both men, bright future. So Ruka, a champ in the future." I don't know. It's hard to say because, again, we don't know what they're going to turn out to be, but... they both have a bright future, that's for sure. And Sol Ruka, man, ooh, we're going to get to her work in just a second. But I want to get into the women's three-way. Dude, Roxanne Perez defended her NXT Women's Championship against Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley. Now, I posted my reaction to the finish of this match on Instagram. So if you guys want to see the legitimate, honest to God reaction, it is up there on the Instagram app. Why did I say the Instagram app? That made me sound like I'm 50 and don't know what I'm talking about. On Instagram, not the Instagram app. I just like aged myself like 40 years right now. But anyways, on Instagram, the reaction, it's there. So there was a lot in this. Just to kind of highlight some points here, what really worked in this match was the pacing. The pacing of this, phenomenal. They kept you interested the entire freaking way. Like, even just with the start, by the way, the start, we literally saw Tatum and Lyra just go at it. And I thought it was hilarious because if you paid close attention, you will see that Roxanne Perez was just chilling. She sat down on the ropes and was like, "I don't gotta do nothing." And then eventually after that, obviously she gets her hands dirty and we see them all beat the hell out of each other. There's a moment in this match that was very freaking cool because they're sort of in this triangle position where they're on the mat and they're forming like a triangle. But as they're doing that, they're literally just punching, chopping each other. And it was very fucking fun. Ooh, very freaking fun to see. The crowd was really interested in this. Lyra, again, showcasing her strikes, dude. The things that she can do were phenomenal. There was a moment where she went for like a roundhouse kick. And I remember Roxanne sort of ducking it. And that was a very cool visual as well. I really liked that too. The thing that I also loved in this match was that I didn't realize Tatum Paxley had all of that in her. So first of all, she's really playing up the creepiness, right? That's her thing. She's like crawling. She's like scaring the hell out of Roxanne and Lyra, but she's not doing it so much that it takes away from the in-ring portion of it all. She found a really good balance between being creepy and then also getting in the moves in the actual matchup, right? It doesn't take away from her performance as a wrestler. It adds to her performance as a wrestler instead. And so that was something that I really found appealing, right? And there was a couple of moments where they teased that Tatum was going to win this match. And I thought, like, that's not going to happen. I mean, I bit on one of them for sure. But then the finish. I had no idea. And maybe I've seen it and I just forgot. I don't know. But I had no idea that Tatum could do a 450. And it was a clean, very nice 450. So she hits that 450. She goes in to freaking pin Lyra. And it feels like, wait a minute, where's Roxanne? She's not going to lose her title this quick, is she? I don't know. But then Roxanne comes out of nowhere right before Tatum gets his three count. And she ends up freaking rolling up Tatum Paxley and pinning her 1-2-3. And she sort of like stole her victory. She stole Tatum's victory in a sense. And so it was just a phenomenal finish to the match. Again, you guys can check out the reaction on Instagram. And this was one of my favorite matches that I've seen on NXT for the women. Oh my God. Like in a while, like I've liked a lot of the stuff that they've done, but primarily the matches that I've really loved were like on the special NXT shows, sort of like this, like the spring break and shows, but also on the PLEs. But damn, this one really hit. I really liked it. So I wanted to make sure to put this match over because I thought that all three women, chef's kiss, they did a phenomenal job with this match here. So give them their flowers, guys. Give them their flowers. So speaking of, another good match that we had for the women. We had actually just now, Steven Marchuli had just mentioned Sol Ruca is a future champ. This girl. So we had this pay-per-view was perfect for Sol Ruca, by the way, because her whole theme is that her whole gimmick is that she's a surfer girl. She's your California easy breezy, chilling in the sun, listening to Kobe Calais kind of gal. And so She has this beach brawl with Blair Davenport. And this was all Sol Ruca. Like, this was her match to shine. And the story here is that in kayfabe is that Blair was the one who injured her. And so Sol Ruca has had a whole year where she was, you know, gone, and a whole year where she's wanted this revenge. This is not the first match we've seen with her and Blair. And Sol Ruca had not been able to get her revenge on Blair. So finally in this show, see, it was so good, I'm calling it a pay-per-view. On this show with the spring break-in and the beach brawl theme and then Sol Ruca's gimmick, it all just sort of tied in very nicely. But this one was fun, of course, because, you know, you have all of these little props, you have benches, you have kiddie pools, you have the little ball pits that you see at Chuck E. Cheese. They got all of that going. So it's a very, very themed match. Loved it. They had a lot of fun with this. There was a moment, though, where Blair, like, tossed Sol Ruca into this, like, bench that they had there. And I'm not sure if the bench was supposed to break. I'm really not sure. But it didn't break, though. And the fact that it didn't break when Sol Ruca's body was tossed onto it made it look far more painful than if it would have broken. It made it look very painful. Then they also did a bit where Sol Ruca tosses her into a kiddie pool with all of the balls and then puts her surfboard on top of it. And then she starts riding the surfboard. I was pissed when they did a picture in picture for this match because I thought, of all the matches, you're really going to put this one with a freaking picture in picture. Like, I'm hella entertained. Let me see this entire match. So I was a little irritated with the picture in picture, but whatever. We came back, we see a standing moonsault from Sol Ruca, and then she just smashes Blair Davenport's face with a surfboard. So that was freaking cool. She finally hits the Soul Snatcher, and she wins this match. And every time she does the Soul Snatcher, like, my brain stops functioning, guys. Like, I don't understand how she got from there to there. I don't know how he got from point A to point B with the soul snatcher. That's how cool it looks. So she gets the win and she finally gets her revenge on Blair Davenport. This was another fun matchup, perfect for Sol Ruka. And Sol Ruka is definitely in line to become NXT Women's Champion. Shit, I wouldn't be surprised if she gets called up like fast because she's I kind of don't want her to get called up because I still think she, you know, can do a lot on NXT, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were just like, let's effing go with it, because she can already do some cool stuff. And sometimes she feels maybe like even a little bit more advanced than really she should be, but she's doing great, man. Really freaking great. Yeah, Hunter Tillman says she hits it so effortlessly. She does everything so effortlessly. Like, particularly, I'm not just talking about the soul snatcher, but when she does that cartwheel into the DDT, dude, how? She makes it look like it's the easiest thing, and she does it with a lot of poise. Like, it's so weird. Like, she just does it with a lot of poise, and it doesn't look sloppy. It looks nice. I don't know how to explain it. She just makes it look very easy. So those were all great stuff. I'm going to continue on with the women because they were really just good parts here of the show. The other bit that we got was the contract signing between Natalya and Lola Vice. And this was for the underground match that they're having next week. And it's the first ever women's underground match. I said this last week, but I'm not a fan of these underground matches. I'm hoping that because it's the women, I'm hoping that they add their own dazzling effect to it. And I hope that it's a lot better than what we've seen in the past with the guys. So I'm going to give it a chance. I'm hoping that it's good and we'll see what it turns out to be. But this contract signing was pretty simple, but it was fun because it was literally just Lola Vice telling Natty that just because she shakes her ass doesn't mean she can't kick her ass. Like, that's the number one thing people throw at Lola Vice is the fact that she's always shaking her ass, which is funny because that's like her thing. Like, every time you see Lola Vice, she's doing like the hip thing. Like, that's just her thing. Like, I would, if I saw Lola Vice at freaking Target, like, I'm pretty sure Lola Vice is doing the hip dance and freaking Target. Like, she just looks like she's doing it all the time. If I saw that, I would believe it. I'd be like, yep, that's Lola right there, honestly. So anyways, Natty just basically wants to beat some respect into her. And one of the things that we were waiting to find out was who was going to be in the corner of Lola Vice during this matchup, because Natalya has Carmen Petrovic with her. And turns out that the person that Lola brought on her side was none other than Shayna Baszler. So talk about getting the right people for this. And so we end up seeing all of them brawl. Pretty fun stuff. Ends with a little bit of a bang. It was fine. It was good. I liked this. And it made me more intrigued for the underground match. Like, I'm honestly excited to see this match. So there you go. That's what's happening with that. So we'll see how it turns out. Now, this next portion, please keep in mind that I have felt very strongly about a lot of things. However, there's some matches on today's show that I just did not care about. One of them was the family taking on the No Quarter Catch crew in a six-man tag team match. I cannot, for the life of me, at this moment, get into the No Quarter Catch crew. I haven't been feeling it. I just haven't been feeling it. And I like the family because the family, like, they're not putting on five-star matches, of course. Like, I know what to expect from the family. I expect more of the comedy. I expect more of the storytelling. And so for that reason, I was like, and I said this last week too, and I'm going to reiterate this again. Please give the Heritage Cup to the family, because at least there, I feel like I'm going to get something out of it. And right now, just a No Quarter Catch crew, there's no seasoning in the No Quarter Catch crew. Like, they need some seasoning. It's just very bland, very, very bland. And so for that reason, I don't have as much interest. So I hope that they find the thing that sort of makes them intriguing on the show. And so that's where I'm at with the No Quarter Catch crew at the moment. I'm hoping I become a fan soon. I didn't like the exchange between Luca Crucifino and Damon Kemp. There was a moment where they went at it, and I just kind of felt like none of them were like looking like they were really laying it in. It just kind of felt like, I don't know, they were just there. Like they were just going through the motions. And so that was a little bit just like, but the family win. And I want the family to get the Heritage Cup and just break up the no quarter catch crew. Break them up. I think they're all better off doing their own thing. That's where I'm at with that right now. There we go. Jada Parker, Fallon Henley. I thought this one was interesting for the reason, not so much the match itself, but the fact that Jada Parker defeated Fallon Henley. I was sort of surprised by that. And maybe I shouldn't be because they really are looking like they're pushing Jada Parker. Like she just like appeared and they just went with it. Like they were, she's getting wins. She's having moments. They're really making sure to do something with Jada Parker. But I was surprised by this because I've sat here so many times, so many weeks, and I keep feeling like Fallon Henley, there's this saying, never the bride, always the bridesmaid. That's what Fallon Henley is feeling like to me right now. I think she has the potential to be the top babyface for the women's NXT division. And I don't feel like we're seeing all that much there, which is weird because almost like every week I think like, oh yeah, Fallon Henley's time is coming. But I just kind of felt like the way that she lost today, it made me think like, what's going on with Fallon? Like she needs like a big feud. She needs like a big win because she's got all of the tools. And I'm such a fan of hers. I really am such a fan of Fallon Henley's. And so I'm sort of always left wanting more. And so, yeah, I feel like she's in a situation where she's never the bride, always the bridesmaid. So we'll see what comes about with Fallon Henley. That's how I feel right now. We'll see. All right, so we got literally just one more thing to get into, and this was Baron Corbin versus Lexus King. Not really nothing to really talk about in regards to the match other than Lexus King cheats to win. That was kind of it. This was probably Lexus King's biggest victory. He needed to get the win on Baron Corbin because Lexus King, he's won some, he's lost some. So I didn't think there was any benefit to him losing to Baron Corbin. So I do think that him defeating Baron Corbin in the manner in which he did is only going to continue to move that forward. So that was literally NXT, guys. I can't believe how fast I sort of went through everything, but that was the show for today. And it was a really good show. So, I started with the best things. So if you want to go back and rewatch the show, those truly are the best items that I mentioned at the very top. Next week for spring break in week 2, we're going to be getting JC Jane versus Thea Hale. Finally, you guys know I've been waiting for this matchup. We're also going to be seeing Natalia versus Lola in the underground match. I'm giving it a chance here. We're also going to see this one I'm ready for. This is the meat match, guys. We're going to be getting Obafemi versus Ivar, in which he's defending his NXT North American Championship. And that one is the meat match. Can't wait for that one. And then NXT tag team titles on the line. We're seeing Nathan Frazier and Axiom, the champions, defend their belts against the AOP, the Authors of Pain. And I think we're going to get new champions, guys. I don't think that AOP should be losing to Nathan Frazier and Axiom. Like, I love Nathan Frazier and Axiom, but AOP really needs this right now. And I don't think it would be a good start for them to lose to Nathan Frazier and Axiom. So I'm guessing that, unfortunately, this title run between Nathan and Axiom is not going to be that long. As a matter of fact, I think it's ending next week. So sorry, but I just think that's what's going to happen there. We'll see. Yeah, literally. I think we got a lot of people here saying the exact same thing, by the way, about the AOP. Alrighty, everyone. So before I wrap things up, one of the things that I always tell you guys is, have I read this review already? I don't think so. So again, guys, if you want to leave a review on any of the podcasts, please do. I will read them here on the show. I'm trying to think of ways to get people to leave more reviews, but it really does help out the channel and the podcast a whole lot, specifically the podcast, the audio version. You guys can go follow on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Even if you watch here on YouTube, just going and clicking that follow button really does help out the podcast a lot. And if you leave a review, I will read it here on the show. And I don't think I've read this one. Nope, I have not. I've been saving this one. And this one is from R. Patrick Moore. Patrick, thank you so much for going out of your way to leave a review. Patrick says, great original positive content. I find Denise's wrestling takes fresh, relatable, and positive. Her insights helped me figure out to take it all in the primary wrestling promotions. Hard not rooting for her and for her success. Patrick Moore, thank you so much for the 5-star review and for the generous words. I truly, truly appreciate it. Tomorrow, I am going to be posting a video that I'm really excited about, and it's going to go up tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So make sure you guys keep an eye out on it. I won't give any spoilers on it, but check it out. Check it out in the next few days, because then after that, it's not going to be timely anymore. So check it out tomorrow. Keep an eye out. And then also, I will be back tomorrow with Righteous Reg for AEW Dynamite. I will be back on Friday with Robin Lundberg to talk about SmackDown. And of course, it's going to be night one of the draft. And then I will be here on Saturday to talk about Collision and Rampage, because it's going to be a 3-hour show. So there's a lot happening here on the channel. Thank you guys so much. Catch you guys on the next one. Bye.